the second episode of Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Today, we present to you the first of our Wednesday programs, The Bob Hope Show, or as otherwise known, The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope. We will present these shows in the order that they originally aired every Wednesday, beginning today. Bob Hope. There is so much to say about this man, not only in relation to comedy, but in relation to America and the 20th century. Here is what Richard Zoglin, author of a biography entitled Hope, says about the man. The scope of Hope's achievement, viewed from the distance of a few years, is almost unimaginable. By nearly any measure, he was the most popular entertainer of the 20th century, the only one who achieved success, often number one rated success, in every major genre of mass entertainment in the modern era. Vaudeville, Broadway, movies, radio, television, popular song, and live concerts. He virtually invented stand-up comedy in the form we know it today. His face, voice, and stage mannerisms, the nose, the lopsided smile, the confident sashaying walk, and the ever-present golf club, made him more recognizable to more people than any other entertainer since Charlie Chaplin. A tireless stage performer who traveled the country and the world for more than half a century, doing live shows for audiences in the thousands. He may well have been seen in person by more people than any other human being in history. His achievements as an entertainer, however, only hint at the breadth and depth of his impact. For the way he marketed himself, managed his celebrity, cultivated his brand, and converted his show business fame into a larger, more consequential role for himself on the public stage, Bob Hope was the most important entertainer of the century. Viewed from the largest historical perspective, the way he intersects with the grand themes of this century, from the greatest generation's crusade to preserve democracy in World War II, to the social, political, and cultural upheavals of the 60s and 70s, one could argue, without too much exaggeration, that he was the only important entertainer. Today, I'm honored to present to you, for your listening pleasure, the very first episode of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, which aired on September 27th, 1938, and featured Constance Bennett as the show's special guest.
Hope is here for Pepsodent. Hope is here for Pepsodent.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
We bid you all hello. Bid welcome to our show. May we present for Pepsodent a guy you ought to know.
Thank you so much. Tonight is the night, and I hope you will tune in on us every Tuesday. Let's make it your chase away blues day by listening in when we begin.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Hope. No, not yet, Charlie. But don't leave. Got our signals mixed. Well, here we are with a brand new sponsor, a brand new program, a brand new cast, and ready to tell some jokes. I'm very happy to be back on the air again. I've been very busy all summer working on a few projects. What do they want all those ditches for anyway? But I'm happy. My sponsor is really a very nice fellow. We get along swell. All afternoon here at rehearsal, we were riding piggyback. Playing piggyback. He was riding me. And to show you that I'm up to date this year, I'm starting a pension plan for old jokes. So if you hear me using a lot of old gags on the show, remember there's a reason. It means $30 every Tuesday. Sorry, I don't... We have a nice cast on the show, ladies and gentlemen, that consists of...
The topper of the feminine stars of Hollywood, Miss Constance Bennett, Skinny Ennis and his band, Jerry Colonna, our seven swingsters, six hits and a miss, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin.
Oh, thank you, Bill. That's our announcer, ladies and gentlemen, known to his intimates as Bill Teeth Goodwin. Show him your teeth, Bill. That's enough, that's enough. Two more payments and they're his. Hey, he's full of pep, isn't he? I'm a little tired myself. My uncle just left town. He was here with the American Legion Convention. He was in the Army. He was really one of the first men to go over the top. Somebody pushed him. But he's from Florida, and he spent most of his time while he was here dropping ice cubes out of the hotel window to make the people think it was hailing here in California. It was a nice, quiet convention. The second night, the boys at the hotel gave the house detective 24 hours to get out of town. Oh, but really, I want to thank the American Legion for getting me a half day off last week at Paramount. They came over to the set I was working on and took the camera with them as a souvenir. Paramount didn't mind that so much, but they'd be very thankful if the fellow from Texas would please bring back Dorothy L'Amour. And the parades were wonderful last week with the convention. The women looked beautiful. One thing I noticed, the women looked different this year. You know, the way they're wearing their hair up on top like... Gee, I never knew they had ears. My girl had her hair up so high she had to have the perfume sprayed on by a tree surgeon. I worked on that gag all summer. Too bad I didn't get it finished. You know, I saw a sign, by the way, talking about the new hairdresser. I saw a sign in a beauty parlor today coming down here. Marcel and your ears pinned back for a dollar. Really, my girl had her ears pinned back so far that when she's on the telephone, she can listen with both ears at the same time. She's sort of a Dracula with freckles. You'd like her. And I hear the girls are going to wear those hoop skirts again. You know what a hoop skirt is? That's a parachute with legs. I don't like to wait for anything. You know, my girlfriend brought one yesterday and took it home with her. She has a canary going crazy. He doesn't know where he lives anymore. I don't know where she got the hoops for her skirt, but every time I take her out, her skirt wraps itself around a barrel of beer. My kid brother told me that joke. Just said, I'm going to buy him a brain tomorrow. But you know, these hoop skirts are going to save a lot of taxi fare for the men. All they have to do is get a stick and roll their girlfriend home. Good, eh, fellas? No, eh? And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet our band. Really a swell band. Skinny Ennis and the boys. You ready, Skinny? Okay, one, two. No, 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 boys, not the laughs. I mean your sideline. You know the music. Take it, Skinny.
Must you dance every dance with the same fortunate man? You have danced with him since the music began. Won't you change partners and dance with me? Must you dance quite so close, with your lips touching his face? Can't you see I'm longing to be in his place? Won't you change partners and dance with me? Ask him to sit this one out, and while you're alone, I'll tell the waiter to tell him he's wanted on the telephone. You've been locked in his arms ever since, heaven knows when. So won't you change partners, and then you may never want to change partners again. been locked in his arms ever since, heaven knows when. So won't you change partners, and then you may never want to change partners again. So won't you change partners, and then you may never want to change partners again.
Friends, here's a bargain with the capital B. Listen, 1 cent now buys a full-size 50-cent bottle of nationally famous Pepsodent antiseptic. That's right, I said 1 cent. In order to introduce Pepsodent antiseptic to new users and to comply with a flood of requests from regular Pepsodent users who missed out on last year's 1 cent sale, Pepsodent has decided to hold another Pepsodent antiseptic 1 cent sale. And this means that now, for a limited time only, you can get 2 full-size bottles of extra effective Pepsodent antiseptic for just 1 penny more than the regular price of 1 bottle. So if you've never tried effective, pleasant-tasting Pepsodent antiseptic, do so now and save. And as for you regular users, here's your chance to get Pepsodent antiseptic at a rock-bottom price. So stock up for the winter now at about half the regular cost. Use Pepsodent to help fight colds and sweeten the breath. But you'll have to hurry, for this offer holds good only so long as a limited supply lasts. Remember that. All of you who were disappointed last year, and call your nearest drug dealer now, tonight.
And now may I present one of your favorite personalities, feminine star of such pictures as Merrily We Live, Service Deluxe, and currently working on Hal Roach's Topper Takes a Trip, Miss Constance Bennett.
Thank you, Bob, for that introduction. Now, what can I say about you?
Well, there's some stuff written there, I think.
Oh, yes, so there is. Bob, you're a swell guy and a very funny comedian.
Yeah? Well, I must have written more than that. Say, Connie, you get around quite a bit on the air, don't you? I heard you Sunday with Charlie McCarthy.
Did you? I had a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Charlie sat on my knee and taught me how to talk without moving my lips.
Connie, if you sit on my knee, I'll keep my mouth shut, too. Charlie McCarthy. What's he got that I wish I had? Woods are full of guys like him.
Bob, one more crack like that and you'll go back to the sticks.
I'm through.
Give up.
I like Charlie McCarthy's mouthpiece, too. What's his name, that fellow, the kid
Ed
with the...
Ed Gerberg.
Yeah, that's it.
Tongue-tied a little bit. Yes, he's very nice. We went over to his house for dinner after the show.
Oh, really? I had dinner over there myself one night, Connie. Mm-hmm. There were so many people there, they had to put an extra leaf on the table. All during dinner, the leaf kept yelling, "I'll mow you down."
Well, I'd like to stay here and banter with you, Bob, but I must get away early. I'm going to a girls' baseball game.
A girls' baseball game, Connie? Do they play that, too?
Yes, Bob. Girls play baseball all over the country. I may sponsor a team for Constance Bennett Cosmetics.
This script has so many plugs in it, it reads like a racing form.
Hey, Miss Bennett, I don't like to butt in, but if you mention your cosmetics once more on this program, I hope your lips stick.
Remember, folks, I hired him for his teeth.
Well, I want to keep my mascara in the public eye.
Well, I want to keep Pepsodent in the public mouth.
Yeah, well, I just want to keep my public. Let's go over to that girls' baseball game, Connie. Let's go right over there.
All right. Just to show you there are no hard feelings, you can bring Bill Goodwin along.
Yeah, he can help us over the fence. Let's go, huh?
Well, here we are at the box office, Bob.
Yeah, well, I'll buy the tickets.
No,
I got it right
no,
here.
No, no, Bob. Bob, get... I'll get them. I've got some money.
Oh, no, don't go to the trouble of taking your shoe off right here, Bill. I'll get it. I had some money in my left-hand pocket. If I could only get my mittens off, I have it here.
Hurry, Bob. It's the fifth inning already.
Oh, really? How much are your tickets, madam?
All seats, 50 cents and a dollar.
Yeah, what have you got for 20 cents?
2 hot dogs.
Are they comfortable?
Well, you can pay me, boys, because I've got three passes.
Oh, you have?
Say something funny, Hope.
I can't think of a thing. Let's go in. Say, what a crowd here tonight. Who's playing tonight, Connie?
The Brooklyn Debutantes versus the Dead End Girlies. Listen to the cheers.
We are the Brooklyn Debbies, a roaring fighting team. And if we do not win this game,
I think we'll simply scream.
Say, isn't that wonderful, Connie?
Yeah, let's sit here next to the hairdressers union.
No, no, I don't like the bleachers.
Oh.
Oh, you died with that. Say, there's something wrong with the looks of that baseball diamond.
Yeah, the girls change it to a square cut. It's more stylish, you know. Yeah.
Say, Connie, why are there three girls playing third base?
Oh, that's the hot corner. Robert Taylor's sitting over there.
Oh, is that Robert Taylor? I didn't recognize him without his boxing gloves on. Listen to the crowd roar. Say, Connie, who's that blonde playing first base?
Oh, that's the brunette who played second yesterday.
Say, she looks familiar. I think I went out with her about four checkbooks ago.
Strike three! You're out!
Sally Rand fanned again.
Peanuts, popcorn, potter puffs, and assorted dresses.
Say, that umpire's a thief. I'm going to throw a bottle down there. Madam, may I borrow your bottle?
Okay, but leave the nipple with the baby.
Connie, why did that girl slide into the plate on her face?
Oh, it rained on the field yesterday, Bob. She's trying to get a free mud pack.
Say, isn't it silly to put a totem pole right there at the shortstop? What is that?
That's totem? Not a totem pole. That is the shortstop.
Really?
She had her face lifted too often. Yeah.
Something's wrong over there. It looks like a fight. Oh, they're carrying a man off the field. He tried to sneak over the fence into the 50-cent seats.
Half Buck Benny rides again. He'll be back on the air this Sunday, folks. I like to give these newcomers a break, you know.
Say, Bob, look at that woman going around and around without stopping at home. Who is that?
Oh, that's Mrs. Roosevelt.
Look, Bob.
What?
There's a woman on second, one out, and that's Snow White McGillicuddy at bat.
Well, here's the pitch. She takes a swing at it.
Say, what's the matter, Bill?
Why, Connie's fainted. All the players are running off the field. The umpire is waving her arms. What's she saying?
Game called off on account of a mouse. Oh, thank you, Connie. Thank you. Now our seventh swingster, six hits and a miss. Swing out with my walking stick from Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Without my
walking stick, I'd go insane. Can't look my best, I'd feel undressed without my cane.
Must have my
walking stick, 'cause it may rain. And when it pours, can't be outdoors without my cane.
If I ever left my house without my walking stick,
what a shame.
It would be just something we could never explain.
Oh, my love, thing that makes me click on Lover's Lane. Would go for naught if I were caught without my cane. Without my walking stick, I'd go insane. I'd really blow my top. Look my best, I'd feel undressed without my cane. Look out, it's cold and rain, it's bound to rain without my walking stick. When it pours, it really pours without my cane. If I left my house, left without my walking stick,
it'd be something
that'd be hard to explain. The thing that makes me click, the thing that turns the trick, would go for naught if I were caught
without my cane.
Without my cane.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the lovers of classical music, there I go, I want to present at this time Senor Jerry Colonna, through the courtesy of Warner Brothers. I need say little about his talents. His voice speaks for itself. Senor Colonna. Just a second. I know I have a lot of enemies, but who sent you up here?
Silence, rogue. Do you realize that you've interrupted the great Colonna when the mood for song was beginning to creep upon him? Creep. Creep. Creep.
I wish you'd creep out of the studio.
But I am not finished.
Yeah, what's your opinion against millions of others? Look, I know you call yourself the great Colonna, but really, who are you?
You want to know who I am? Here is my card.
Well, well, so you're the ace of clubs. I could have used you last night.
Ah, but last night I was the two of diamonds.
When you were born, the stork must have been dealing off the bottom. Who told you you could sing?
I wish I knew. The stool pigeon. But I have had my happy moments. I was once a gondolier in Venice. Well, do I remember. There I was in the middle of the street. People came to hear me from miles around. It was the most extraordinary thing they ever saw.
What, you're singing?
No, knave. I forgot the gondola.
Well, tell me, senor, were you resuscitated?
I was... Check.
Is there anything else you can do, senor, while we're waiting for the wagon?
Oh, yes. A dash of drama.
Drama.
Never will I forget the time I played Romeo and Juliet. In the first act, Juliet tossed me a rose tenderly from between her teeth.
Yeah, what happened in the second act?
Very tenderly, I tossed back her teeth.
Well, senor, tell me, have you ever emptied any theaters in this country?
Ah, yes. My first concert. What glorious memories. 30 years ago at the Trocadero.
Wait a minute. 30 years ago, there was no Trocadero. The place was all desert.
Ah, no wonder there were two camels applauding.
Check.
Silence, Gate. The great Colonna is about to lift his melodious voice in song.
Over my dead body.
Goody.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce that at this time that any similarity between Senor Colonna and a human being, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Check.
Under the road, Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, you can hear the paddles a-checking up to China across the bay on the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play. And the dawn comes up like thunder out of China and the bay.
Pepsodent antiseptic lasts a mighty long time. In fact, three times as long as ordinary kinds, because it may be diluted with two parts water and still kill germs in seconds. Therefore, those of you who have purchased Pepsodent fairly recently haven't had reason to buy mouth antiseptic in many, many weeks. But if your stock is now getting low, then you're really in luck. For now, for a limited time only, you can actually buy 2 50-cent bottles of Pepsodent antiseptic by paying just 1 penny more than the regular price of one bottle. So if you've never tried this finer, more effective mouth antiseptic, do so now. Of course, you regular users of Pepsodent will want to stock up at this record low price. But don't delay. Order your special 1 cent sale combination package now while a limited supply lasts. Yes, act tonight, for this money-saving 1 cent sale may never be repeated. Well, that song's here again. We can't keep it out. But this time we get Bob Hope's own version of it.
Tisket a tasket, a yellow basket, send a letter to my my mommy.
On the way I dropped it. I dropped it.
Hello? Hope Detective Agency. Manager Hope speaking. Oh, yes, we find anything. I even found a sponsor. Yes? Well, I don't know. Who are you? You don't know? Well, where'd you start for? Oh, listen, I can't find you every 5 minutes, Corrigan. I'm busy. Say, Miss Fitz, where's my assistant, Philo Pants Goodwin?
He's in the back room listening to Gangbusters.
Isn't that silly, a detective listening to Gangbusters? Call me when the Lone Ranger goes on. All right, Miss Fitz, let's get down to business. Get over in the other knee and take a letter.
Who's it to?
It's to one of our satisfied customers, Mr. Thomas J. McStippett, Alcatraz Finishing School. Dear Butch, I've been looking through my files, but I've been unable to find one that will fit into a pie. Understand you are having your annual water carnival next week. Good luck in the 100-yard dash. Yours for life.
Hey, Chief, yeah. I just got an important telephone call from a lady.
Yeah, what'd she say?
Well, I don't know, but it was awful important. Yeah.
Philo Pants, you're a genius in a moronic sort of way. Get that, Philo Pants.
Hello. Pants on the line. What's that? You say this woman shot her husband at close range?
At close range, eh? Were there any powder marks in the suit?
Yes, that's why she shot him.
Come in.
Desk it.
Why, that's the lady who called me. That's just what she said on the phone.
What's wrong, lady?
It's my basket.
Your basket?
My brown and yellow basket.
What happened to the basket?
I wrote a letter to my mommy, and on the way I dropped it.
She dropped it?
I heard her.
I dropped my yellow basket. And if I do not get it back, I think that I shall die.
She thinks that she shall die.
Oh, my.
Don't worry, madam. We'll find your basket. Philo Pants, call the posse.
Okay, boss. Here, posse. Here, posse.
Tell me, young lady. Tell me, why do you carry letters in the basket anyway?
I don't know. I just read the lines. I don't understand them. We are being watched.
I hope somebody's listening, too. Tell me, have you got any clues?
Yeah, we can't work without clues. After all, clues make the man.
Down, Philo.
Hey, boss, I don't see what all this fuss is about just for a letter in a basket.
Shh.
The letter contained a sample of a new explosive, so powerful that one drop could blow us all sky high.
What was that?
That's killer fetal bomb. We're saving him as a suspect for our next case. Come on, killer, tell us what you know about this case.
You ain't got nothing on me. I didn't see a drop no brown and yellow basket at Hollywood and Vine. I don't know nothing about no formula for no explosive, and besides, I won't talk.
Took you some time to make up your mind, didn't it, huh?
Say, boss, a little torture ought to loosen his lips.
Yeah, sing him the torture song I torture, Philo.
A task, good a task.
Oh, stop. Boy, that ain't torture. That's murder.
Give him the works, boss. Tell him those jokes you heard on the Bob Hope program.
Oh, me? Okay. On the way to the studio.
Oh, no. No. Anything but that. I'll tell you all that I know. I'll talk.
Who stole the basket and the envelope with the explosive?
It was the Baron.
I knew it.
He's hiding at the Gargoyle Castle.
Did you say Gargoyle Castle?
Yes, Gargoyle, like with Pepsodent antiseptic.
Now that you've given us a plug, let's all get on and we're off to Gargoyle Castle.
Hi-ho, Gargoyle!
Shh. Gee, this Gargoyle Castle is a mysterious place.
Yeah, take it easy. They may be armed. I want you to all stand behind me, and if you hear a shot...
Yes.
Get in front of me. Okay, ring the bell, Philo.
Okay, boss. Here goes.
Oh, yes! I've been expecting you, but I fooled you. I'm not home.
Wait a minute. If you're not home, how come you're talking to us?
Ah, so you're wondering too?
Wait a minute, Baron. Do you know who I am?
I know you. That clean shirt isn't enough to fool me. You're detectives. Seize him, men.
Oh, yes!
Wait a minute, take your hands off me.
Shut up. What dungeon shall we throw them into, Baron? Throw them into 77B.
I've been there before. Who laid that egg?
Boss, how are we going to get out of this dungeon?
Don't worry, Philo. You'll forget I'm a master of disguise. I'm going to make myself look exactly like the Baron. Hand me that mustache.
Okay.
Now, do I look like him?
Well, that's perfect, boss. That's perfect. I couldn't tell you from the baron.
Quiet, Philo. Here comes the baron now. He's opening the dungeon door.
The baron! What am I doing in this dungeon?
Oh, so you're wondering too.
If you're the baron, then who am I?
You're Detective Hope.
Oh, then I'll have to frisk me. Ah, here's the letter I've been looking for.
Don't open it, Baron. It'll blow you to pieces.
I should worry. I'm Detective Hope, and I hate that guy.
Look, boss. Look, he's still breathing. He still thinks he's Detective Hope.
Quiet, Philo. He's about to speak.
Strange. I always thought Detective Hope led a good life.
Why, what's so strange about that?
It's getting awfully warm where I'm going.
She took my yellow basket. If she doesn't bring it back, I think that I shall die.
Thanks for the memory of this, our opening spot. Say, I practically forgot. You'll love the show next Tuesday. There's a scene where I get shot. You like that so much. And now we are sorry to leave you. It's just for a week we'll be missing. To show Pepsodent that you listen. Mail in the doors from four drugstores. Say, Bill,
yes,
what's
Bob?
On tap for next week?
Our special guest is Miss Olivia de Havilland. Skinny Ennis and the band will be back. Jerry Colonna, our swingsters, six hits and a miss. And, of course, you.
And you. And thank you so much.
The tune Change Partners is from the RKO picture Carefree. Until next at the same time, the Pepsodent Company bids you good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
In one of our preview episodes, we mentioned that this podcast will be an audio time travel excursion to the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. What this means is that we'll get to listen in on people's lives in the first half of the 20th century. Now, of course, I don't mean we'll listen to people's conversations in their homes around the dining room table, but these radio shows do give us a peek into how they lived and worked and shopped and even thought. For this reason, I believe that we must approach old-time radio, especially old-time radio comedy, like we are visiting the past, if we ever want to get anything out of the experience. If we go into these episodes expecting them to be what is on TV and radio in 2018, we'll be in for a shock, and we'll be disappointed. We can't expect people who lived 80 years ago to talk or act like people of today. Society was completely different. For example, one commercial says to visit your drug dealer for Pepsodent antiseptic. Well, we would not at all call a pharmacist a drug dealer in 2018. A drug dealer is something quite different now. So we see things that are acceptable now were not then, and vice versa. So look at these programs through the lens and through the audio filter of 80 years ago. Now, societal norms are not the only things to take into account. Especially in comedy, the current events of that day and age are important to understand. This is because so much of comedy is poking fun at current events and currently famous people. Another example of this in the show is Hope's joke about Mrs. Roosevelt going around and around without stopping at home. If you understand the history, however, the good-natured jab makes sense. In 1938, Franklin Roosevelt had been president for 6 years. Everybody knew about the First Lady Eleanor. To help us understand the joke, I want to read to you from her obituary that appeared in the New York Times on November 8, 1962. Mrs. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was more involved in the minds and hearts and aspirations of people than any other First Lady in history. By the end of her life, she was one of the most esteemed women in the world. During her 12 years in the White House, she was sometimes laughed at and sometimes bitterly resented. But during her last years, she became the object of almost universal respect. In the White House, and for some time thereafter, no First Lady could touch Mrs. Roosevelt for causes espoused, opinions expressed, distances spanned, people spoken to, words printed, precedents shattered, honors conferred, degrees garnered. She was as indigenous to America as palms to a Florida coastline. And as the nation's most peripatetic woman, she brought her warmth, sincerity, zeal, and patience to every corner of the land and to much of the world. Her seemingly ceaseless activity and energy provoked both a kind of dazzled admiration and numerous Eleanor jokes, particularly in the 1930s and 40s. The word peripatetic means traveling from place to place, in particular working or based in various places for relatively short periods. So we can gather from her obituary that she traveled a lot and worked on various projects all over the country and indeed all over the world. Being the first First Lady who had done that, well, people cracked Eleanor jokes, as did Bob Hope. She ran round and round without stopping at home. Well, for these and other reasons, I encourage you to listen to these old-time radio shows with the ears of someone who lived 70 or 80 years ago. If there is a comment or joke you don't get, write in and ask for my assistance, or even Google it yourself. You may end up with not only laughter, but an education as well. And that's it for today. Please come back on Friday for our first episode of The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/classiccomedyotr. And check us out at our website, classiccomedyotr.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. So, until Friday, in the immortal words of Groucho Marx.
Hello, I must be going. I cannot stay, I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going. La la.